This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
I support my husband through all his races in Arkansas. And I, one of my favorite political ads of all time was a radio ad, rural Arkansas, where the announcer said, wouldn't it be great if somebody running for office said something, we could have an immediate reaction as to whether it was true or not? Well, we trained this dog. And the dog, if it's not true, he's going to bark. And then the dog was barking on the radio. And so, you know, people were, like, barking at each other for days after that. I'm trying to figure out how we could do that with Republicans. You know, we need to get that dog and follow them around. And every time they say these things, like, oh, you know, the Great Recession was caused by too much regulation. You know? I think we could cut right through a lot of their claims.
You know, she wanted to say something other than, you know, cut through their claims, right?
Exactly. You can't make this stuff up, man.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, Hillary barking. I mean,
yeah.
I know there's a saying there, but I'm not going to touch it. I can't go there.
Right.
I just cannot, but I'm so tempted.
I'd love to, too.
There's the little brat in me that just wants to come out. But, yeah, it is... Yeah, it's amazing, you know, that, yeah, I guess what happens, if you're the first one to point out a dysfunction, then you're not culpable. I guess that must be the deal, right?
That must be the case. Funny, though, that if we had a dog that could tell the truth and would bark if you didn't, it would probably be following Hillary around, too. Because
exactly
if you go to PolitiFact, and they have her true statements at only 25%. Her false statements are at 13, so everything else is in between those, you know, either mostly false or half true.
Right.
So the dog would probably be barking a lot at her as well.
Well, it'd probably be... It'd be a muffled bark from barking so much, you know. Just the, I don't know if you've heard dogs that lose their voice; they get so raspy and stuff, and it sounds so sad.
Well, another thing, guys, it's just so disingenuous to me. Do you notice her inflection? That she's got this southern inflection in when she's talking to this group too, and it's like.
Yes.
Ugh, you know, it just makes me sick. I don't know if you guys caught that or not, but...
Yeah, well, it's always kind of... Some of this stuff's nuanced. Wait till she gets down south. I mean, she's going to go hood. She'll go hoodie here really quick.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you know, she'll take on the deal, and then I'm sure Kanye West, like he just said, he told white publications they want to stop commenting on black music. You know, you can keep sending your money, but don't make any comments on black music. Oh, you got to love Kanye.
Which is weird, because I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure his is just a sub-distribution of, like, Sony Records and things like that.
Right, sub-label, yeah.
A sub-label, which means that his... company is actually owned by a white guy that shouldn't comment on it.
Oh, you want to bring that into play, huh? You want to play that card? Oh, okay, we see where you're going. I mean, you know, he got noogied last night, too, at the Grammys. You know, Taylor Swift kind of noogied him ever so gently without making it too overt, but it was obvious who she was pointing to.
Did you hear he's $53 million in the hole, and he's asking what's his name? Zuckerberg, the guy from Facebook,
right.
For money now?
Yeah. Hey, why not? Well, Zuckerberg white, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gosh, you just said don't talk about his music, all right?
We can talk about his finances. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the thing is so funny. I mean, Hillary's looking for a dog, but, you know, Dr. Billy Graham years ago said, I mean, the real sense and understanding of when a politician is lying is real simple. He says it's not when they're touching their hair or touching their nose. It's when they're moving their lips. So who needs a dog? This is Bill Martinez. We've got more. Stay with us, America.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on health care by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and with us right now, Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, and focuses on the Middle East, politics, Iran, Syria, and the Persian Gulf. Michael, as always, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Thank you, Bill. Doing just fine, thanks.
Well, so much is happening with this presidential race. I imagine for you, many times when you hear some of the candidates speaking, you can tell real quick who's really on top of it and who has an understanding of what's going on, because clearly where we are right now, we cannot continue with this business the way we're dealing with our national security under this current administration.
Well, that's absolutely the case. I mean, one of the criticisms I have with President Obama is he seemed to develop his national security policy by just taking whatever George W. Bush would be doing and doing the opposite, and that's sort of polarity in national security doesn't do anyone any good. What worries me on the Democratic side is that Bernie Sanders, when you look at the advisors he's announced, seem to be advocates of doubling down on the strategies which arguably have gotten us to where we are under President Obama. Then again, on the Republican side, you have some candidates who are more nativistic, more populist, who seem to just be throwing out anything to say whatever Obama's doing, whatever we've done in the past, we're going to do the exact opposite. That's not necessarily productive. And you're right, we do have a few more thoughtful candidates who will have differences among them, but can have real debates over philosophy.
Well, this is an opportunity for this country, and dare I say, even for our allies, Michael, if we get the right man in the job. I've maintained that we've been using the wrong tool for the wrong job. I mean, you got a community organizer coming in. We knew it. I think most of us knew it and were shocked when he not only got voted in the first time, but the second time. And, man, these last 4 years, or at least 3 years plus and counting, it's just put America more in danger, and I'm not sure everybody is quite seeing it. Certainly the kids that are following Bernie Sanders do not have a clue whatsoever on this.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there, but when you're talking about President Obama bringing his community organizer philosophy, I actually see a slightly different problem. Mm-hmm. What Barack Obama has done is really to have adopted the embrace of the academic community. He's doing, yes, what the academic world has preached for so long. You might remember, of course, that during the Bush administration, many academics said, hey, the president's not listening to us. Well, what Obama is doing is exactly what's taught in the universities, and it may sound good in theory, it may sound good sheltered in the ivory tower, but when you treat the United Nations as an altruistic force, when you assume that Russia or China are simply reacting to grievances they have against the United States rather than trying to project their own ideology, then what you end up having is a situation like we have today in Syria, in the South China Sea, in North Korea, and so forth.
Yeah, Michael, I've maintained and agree with you totally that we're operating out of theory here, and now there should be enough empirical evidence to prove their theories wrong. But I guess like global warming, they'll come up with another, you know, variant that somehow justifies their seeming brilliance.
Well, the first rule of hole digging should be when you're stuck in a hole, stop digging.
Yes.
But unfortunately, our foreign policy philosophy right now seems to be just to dig harder, and maybe we won't be misunderstood quite so much. And unfortunately, that doesn't work. I mean, to put it more seriously, I do think the biggest difference between the left and the right when it comes to national security is the left always demonizes power. The right sees that power can be used for good or for bad. President Obama comes from the left. He sees the ability of the United States to project military power as being an arrow in our quiver in which to engage in wars of choice. He doesn't understand it's the finger in the dike preventing a deluge of chaos. And when you have that deluge, when you withdraw American power, the forces of altruism aren't going to fill the vacuum. It's going to be groups like the Islamic State or Machiavellian cynics like Vladimir Putin or the Chinese and so forth.
Michael, why can't the left see that we're repeating history and it's bad history? I mean, I've never seen a scenario where we've followed this line of thinking and, you know, everybody wins as a result of it. And that's what you would hope you would have with national security, that it's a win-win proposition, not win-lose.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, what astounded me, of course, is after the Iranians seized the American sailors, how many people on the progressive left were taking the Iranian side, that somehow they were justified in capturing and humiliating U.S. sailors. But ultimately, if you want the broader reason why I think the left is doing this, because it seems so inimical to the values for which progressives say they stand, I mean, during the Cold War, you had basically people who were anti the Soviet Union and people who were anti the people who were against the Soviet Union. We've got the same thing now. You have people who are against terror. You have the terrorists. You have people who are against the terrorists. And then you have people who navel gaze in the United States so much that they put the terrorists out of their mind. They put what they stand for out of their mind. And they're only interested in defeating the people that are anti the terrorists. So it becomes a political game. And the only loser in a situation like this is the United States, more broadly, liberal democracies.
Exactly. Well, here we are once again in this position. And we're counting days and hoping, as you and I had discussed before, that this president that somehow we can firewall some of this damage that he's doing for us, because the next president coming in are going to have their hands full. And that's just assuming it's not Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, because if it's either one of those two, then we're going to have more of the same.
Well, in many ways, I would trust actually Hillary Clinton's judgment a little bit more. Her gut reaction, her knee-jerk reaction to crises, more than I would trust Barack Obama's, but I fully agree with you. I think where the Democrats are being a little bit disingenuous is in downplaying the damage which President Obama is doing to the Constitution and to the separation of powers. What many of the Democrats forget is that in theory this can be used against them if they allow a precedent to go forward in which President Obama, the so-called constitutional professor, tramples over the Constitution. And ultimately that's going to be a big problem, and it suggests that we're going to have rapid swings of the pendulum. And that also isn't good for national security, because the basis of American strength has always been the consistency and clarity in our foreign policy, as well as whether you're a neoconservative or a realist. It's the importance of alliances over decades which matter. And we're in a situation now where we crumple up and cast off alliances during a presidential term.
Exactly. Well, and speaking of, you know, executive orders, Michael, what you were drawing reference to, what's going to stop the Republicans from really opening up the dam, you know, on this whole situation? And now our Constitution really ends up in a crisis.
Well, that's exactly what I fear. And just because President Obama has done it doesn't mean that it's right for the Republicans to do it just because they can get away with it. Ultimately, my big fear is what happens to the Constitution if you have the separation, if you don't respect the separation of powers. You know, there were some journalistic accounts, some former statements and political analysts who were saying that President Obama was justified to go forward on some of his executive orders because he couldn't find cooperation with the Congress. Well, it's not the job of the Congress to cooperate with the President. That's the basic rule of separation of powers. It's the job of Congress to be a check and balance to the presidential ambitions, and that is what's getting lost.
Well, Michael, when we come back, I want you to grade these presidential candidates with a national security quotient, if you would, if that's fair. Michael Rubin is with us. He is the author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. More from Michael Rubin on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This is brought to you by Takeda Pharmaceuticals. The tradition of making new goals and resolutions each year to lose weight is nothing new. We all know that making those resolutions and keeping them are two very different things. Medical director of the Wellness Clinic at the University of Colorado, Anschutz Health and Wellness Center, and medical director on the docuseries Extreme Weight Loss, Dr. Holly Wyatt, comments.
In a time when you might be struggling to carry out your weight loss resolutions, it's important to remember that you're not alone. Schedule an appointment with your healthcare professional. They can help you create a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Dr. Wyatt recently helped launch Resolve Now, Stay Ahead of the Curve, a new campaign designed to empower overweight or obese women to take action now and talk with their doctor about a weight loss plan. Visit iResolveNow.com for tips from Dr. Wyatt on how to stay motivated in your weight loss journey. Learn about different treatment options and participate in a cartoon caption contest for a chance to win prizes to help you reach your weight loss goals.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. fortressclothing.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Michael Ruman, former Pentagon official, AEI scholar, continues, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, and many others across this country, we're very concerned about our national security. We're surrounded by enemies. We have a president administration that has led more by a sense of appeasement. He's abandoned our allies, and as Michael, Marco Rubio has stated, that our allies, don't trust us any longer. Our enemies don't fear us. Boy, that really leaves us in a vulnerable position, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And Hillary Clinton, back in 2008, had talked about that 3 a.m. phone call. Who would you want to answer it? The fact of the matter is, that 3 a.m. those 3 a.m. calls are going to be on speed dial as rogues and adversaries test whoever comes in next.
Well, I mean, here we have a missile launch from North Korea, Michael, that I guess at one point it went over, Northern California, over the Super Bowl. This doesn't seem really positive here, and there's no consequence for North Korea for doing that.
Well, you're absolutely right, and this is problematic for a number of reasons. One of the big loopholes in the Iranian nuclear accord is that it doesn't do anything to address off-site Iranian work, for example, in North Korea. And we know that the Iranians and North Koreans have cooperated on both missiles and on their nuclear program. The missile, which was launched, in theory it was a satellite launch. You know, the same technology to launch a satellite is the technology to create an intercontinental ballistic missile, which can hit the west coast of the United States. So now we have, under President Obama's watch, a state which is ideologically opposed to us and quite bizarre, which is capable of delivering a nuclear weapon in theory into Los Angeles if they can miniaturize it enough. And you know, they don't have to be that accurate with it. If they hit anywhere in the United States, it's going to kill tens of thousands of people.
Exactly. Well, even from that standpoint, if they affect our grid, what is it going to do electronically to all our computers, everything electronic in the United States? We will be in absolute chaos.
Well, that's absolutely the case, and what's really scary about that is every single war game in which this was played out, and it doesn't just involve, of course, the North Koreans. It could involve the Chinese. It could involve the Russians. The United States doesn't come out on top on this, and when it comes to the delivery of humanitarian assistance and so forth, the way the American economy is set up, you're not going to be able to even order supplies to replace the key generator components, which would be ruined if they're not shielded from an electromagnetic pulse.
Now, this is absolutely scary and incredible all at the same time. Michael, no pressure from the United States on the Chinese to back off the North Koreans. You know, what's going on here?
Ultimately, I think this is the unsung story of the past 20-plus years of diplomacy with North Korea, in that we've wanted to work through Beijing, and we don't realize we've given the Chinese plenty of concessions, we've given them technology transfer and so forth in order to earn their goodwill on the whole North Korea situation. But we're in a situation where it seems the Chinese are playing good cop, bad cop, where they refuse to crack down on North Korea, which is their chief client. You know, the only thing I think that's going to make the Chinese think twice is either if we really up our relationship with Taiwan, or if we encourage the Japanese to develop their own nuclear deterrent. That might be a third rail for the Chinese, but at this point, it's the only thing they're going to listen to.
And what about that 800,000-pound gorilla in the room just off the China Sea that they've built up? A military base.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right on that, and that's a situation in which if you allow them to grab an inch, they take a mile. You've got a situation, and to the credit of Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, the U.S. Navy isn't respecting the Chinese perimeter. But the fact of the matter is, It's almost like looking at a slow motion train wreck in which we see the Chinese working on carrier killer missiles. We see them working on hypersonic aircraft and so forth, against which we don't have many defenses. You know, they're an asymmetric power. They're looking to take advantage of certain capacities which we don't have defenses against. They could knock down our satellites. They could undercut our GPS. And we're doing nothing to fight the long war on this.
Exactly. Well, it's almost like the same thing we're doing it with Iran as well. What are we doing? Are we hoping for the best? I mean, this is a new part of our policy, is hope?
Well, our strategy is all hope, no change. That seems to be what the situation is. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we're empowering a country which ideologically is inclined to oppose us, which has said we're subordinate in the Middle East. What people may not remember is that in 1988, when we were reflagging Kuwaiti tankers to protect them against both the Iraqis and the Iranians had placed a mine in the Persian Gulf. It hit a United States ship. And in response, President Reagan basically decided to retaliate against one of Iran's oil terminals. The Iranians tried to defend it. It turned into the largest surface naval engagement since World War II. It was called Operation Praying Mantis. And in the end, Iran went away chastised. The Americans hardly lost a thing. And in a situation like this, it led the Iranians to back off us for 20 years. Well, a generation has passed. The Iranians are no longer afraid of us. And when you look at what causes wars in the Middle East and perhaps more broadly, it's not oil. It's not competition over water. It's not global warming. It's overconfidence. When one side thinks that the other side isn't serious, when they don't think that the red lines when they think the red lines are ephemeral, that's mm-hmm. when we find ourselves falling into a conflict which would be far worse than what would occur if we stood by our red lines to start with.
Exactly. Well, Michael, speaking of red lines, what is going on with Syria? I mean, is that just all, I mean, forget about what the president said about no more Assad. I mean, he's now made moves to buttress Assad.
Well, ultimately, that seems to be what he's doing. And when he says that the Russians are going in for a failed strategy initially, well, now it looks like the Russians are in the driver's seat, which should be a lesson to us about what a little bit of military force carefully applied could accomplish. When people say, hey, look, Assad is a secular dictator, therefore he's better, that forgets the fact that Assad was the chief enabler of the suicide bombers coming in to fight Americans inside Iraq, and that we wouldn't have been in this situation in Syria if it weren't for Assad's actions. So the notion that Assad will somehow bring stability to the country, well, if you believe that, I have a unicorn farm to sell you.
Exactly. And the sad thing about it, Michael, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that have been left abandoned. I mean, in some ways, it reminds me of Vietnam all over again.
Well, that's absolutely the case. And the most shocking thing that we've seen in recent weeks is, A, the notion that the United Nations has suppressed reports internally about the mass starvation going in against towns of 40,000 people, which includes some American citizens, by the way, inside those starving towns, that the United Nations would try to suppress reports of this simply because they don't want to deal with it is reminiscent of what was going on in Rwanda. It really is a horrendous situation. We also learned today that the United Nations has stopped estimating the death toll of Syrians. The Guardian newspaper, which is a left-of-center newspaper in Great Britain, now estimates that more than 40,000 Syrians have been killed. An additional 70,000 have died because of lack of food and so forth. And ultimately, this is going to be the chief blight on President Obama's legacy.
Exactly. Well, Michael Rubin, I want to get your grade on these presidential candidates, 1 to 5, 1 being bad, 5 being the best when it comes to national security. Just give me a number. Let's go across. Trump, what number would you give him?
One is the worst. I'd give him a 2. The only thing in his favor is that he's a deal maker, but he's going to have to live with the rhetoric. He's dug himself a hole already.
Exactly. Ted Cruz?
I'd give him a 3.
Okay. How about Marco Rubio?
Again, a deal maker.
Right. Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio, I'd give him a 4. He says the right things, but I'm not sure how solid his foundation is.
Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush, I'd also give him a 4.
Okay. How about Hillary Clinton?
You know, Hillary Clinton, I'd give a 3, same grade as Ted Cruz. She might have good instincts, but the way she treated national security with disdain as her tenured Secretary of State, that's not a good thing.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, I'd have to give him a 1. He's planning to repeat all the mistakes which President Obama has made and doubling down on many of us. I don't think we can afford 4 or 8 more years of that.
Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, be safe out there, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with the America coming at you Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern and around the world via shortwave and in over 270 markets now across these United States. Glad you could join us. Let us know your thoughts. Drop me a line. We love hearing from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It is time for the Good News Girl. Yes, the one and only Samantha Mills. We look forward to hearing from her every week because she faithfully checks out the Internet. She's looking to see what all has gone viral. And, of course, last night was the Grammys, Sam, and there was lots of viral potential, as we might call it there, right?
That's true. There was a lot of different stuff going on. I mean, Grammys are always a good place to get some viral hits going through. So, and I'm happy to be here every week. I love scouring the Internet and looking for these stories. It's so much fun.
Well, the good thing about your information that you share with us is it's worthy to put in the vault. You know, what concerns me sometimes is that, you know, down the years, you know, somebody might come, you know, come upon our culture and this part of the 21st century and just say, what were those guys thinking if all they saw was a couple of clips from the Grammys or some of these other cultural things? And, you know, look at I love creativity. Mm-hmm. I think it is awesome. But we just don't have a filter anymore on this stuff. It's just that everything is, it's all fair game, I guess.
That's true. And, I mean, I think that's part of the reason I enjoy looking for these stories so much, because it's so easy to just see the other things when people do crazy, you know, when they act crazy or say something outlandish, it's easier to remember that sometimes. And, you know, like you said, if people look back on this, it's good to remember the good people that are still around. And
you imagine you're in the time capsule, Sam, and all they hear is the viral videos that you've been sharing with us, and they say, wow, this culture is not too bad there. It's had some interesting things. Some parts of our humanity continue on here. Like, for example, the teacher is telling the students they can't remember the last time they got a birthday cake. Well, the students, sometimes the teachers probably wonder, go, are they paying attention in class? Well, these ones, these kids were paying attention and they did something about it, right?
That's right. And I love this story. I thought I'd be able to watch this video without crying, but it wasn't possible. I had tears rolling all off down my face.
Yeah.
A teacher down in Texas, in Burleson, Texas, actually told his classroom, he's Kyle Simpler, he couldn't even remember. He said it's been at least 10 years since he's had a birthday cake, and his classroom just thought that was unacceptable. And obviously, he's a great teacher, and they love him, because these students gave him, like, when he walked in, they surprised him with a present, a birthday banner, a birthday cake. They wanted to make sure he felt special on his birthday.
Wow.
And, you know, something like that can really turn someone's heart around, in my opinion. You know, I had a similar experience when I worked at a restaurant. We had a boss who was working on their birthday, and, you know, she was saying that she didn't think that, you know, she would do anything, and it was kind of a sad thing, and the whole restaurant got together and surprised her, and it really changed the outcome of, you know, her whole attitude. It seemed to really change the whole dynamic in the restaurant when that happened. So,
you know, the thing is, when you think about it, Sam, we have so much power in who we are and how we can bless somebody. You know, something like
that's
this,
right.
Like, what did it take the kids, you know, or even for you guys in the restaurant in that, what did it take to do something special, you know, for another human being that is traversing this journey that we're all on? You know, we have similar stories and maybe even different stories, but we're all in this boat together, you know?
That's right. And maybe a few dollars and a little bit of time and thought. And the thing is, it was as much fun for us as it was for her. You know, we enjoyed doing it as much as the person receiving it, I believe. I mean, I feel joy in my heart to bring joy to somebody, and I think that's what these kids felt too, and that's why it's such a touching video. If you watch, you know, the teachers trying to hold back tears. But obviously, he's already doing something to motivate that kind of passion from his students. So,
without a doubt. Well, Sam, another story that's got a lot of acclaim, especially around Valentine's Day, was a high school senior. I'm voting for him to be a high school senior boy of the year.
Oh my goodness. I would have loved to have him at my high school, because, you know, on Valentine's Day, a lot of girls get, you know, the flowers and all that kind of stuff, but some of the girls don't. And that's always disappointing, and, you know, especially for women, and we're walking around school, if you see people without flowers, well, this high school senior in Utah thought that was unacceptable. It's Hayden Godfrey. He's 17 years old, and he bought 900 carnations. He spent a year and a half saving up for all these flowers and had 20 friends help him, and every single girl in his school got a carnation.
That is so cool.
That it broke his heart. Just like, yeah, he said that his mom said he's a very sensitive soul, and that it broke his heart to see anybody be disappointed on Valentine's Day. And he actually has his own girlfriend, and he bought her concert tickets. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of girls are going to be fighting over him.
Exactly.
What a generous heart.
Well, and I think it's cool the girlfriend went along with it, because some girlfriends, you're going to what? With the girls, all the girls, you know, and, but this was,
That's true.
I think it was like a $400 plus investment or something for this young man, right?
$450. He had been working at McDonald's and washing dishes and bagging groceries to do it. And his girlfriend actually said that she thought it was a great gesture because she had a lot of Valentine's days herself, that she didn't get anything. And she knew it was, you know, everybody was walking out with smiles. And he said it was a really great opportunity to make lifelong friends. And she seemed to be very encouraging of it. And obviously she's the most special because it sounds like he got her some pretty good tickets. So,
right. You know, can you imagine those girls? And I think, like you, Sam, I think of the girls that, you know, that aren't the most popular, the ones that are easy to ignore and just walk on by, and they were acknowledged, you know, with a flower that day and made to feel special. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that is tremendous. And, you know, high five to this high school senior, because that is just awesome, and what a great heart, and that's something that we can all learn from that. Now, we have another one where the shopping cart invented by an Alabama mom is going nationwide in Target stores. I mean, a shopping cart, that big a deal?
Absolutely, and, you know, this is something I had never thought about myself because I've never had to deal with this, but people who have take care of adults or children with disabilities, you know, children that are beyond toddler age, they have, if you're pushing a wheelchair and going through a store at the same time, it's very difficult to push the wheelchair and push your cart. Mm-hmm. And a mother in Alabama actually came up with a solution for this. She came up with a cart for adults and children that are larger with disabilities so that the person that's taking care of them can push them. And it also has an area for their groceries or their items or whatever else they need to get.
Oh, very cool.
It's really a great idea. And Target is going to have one in every store starting in March.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and Target does a fairly good job, too. Target does a fairly good job with their aisles. I mean, some of these places, the aisles are so tight, even if you don't have a device with you, just trying to get a regular cart to go through some of these aisles, they're just really, you know, packing up, you know, the areas in such a way that I believe they're probably turning off some of the consumers because it's just not very inviting to go squeezing around, right?
That's right. And I mean, especially if you feel like you're going to have to push or fight your way through and you have another option of a place that isn't going to be like that. You know, if you have two choices, you're going to go to the place that is more appealing and easier to navigate around. And especially,
exactly.
And you know, these people have enough to worry about anyway. And that's so wonderful that they're making something to make things easier for people with disabilities and their caretakers. I never thought about how difficult that would be.
Exactly.
And
well,
I can't imagine.
Well, Sam, the final story, you got a waitress who sees a homeless man, buys him lunch, and then he returns the favor in a very special way, huh?
That's right. So a waitress at Hooters actually saw a homeless man, and she asked him if he was okay. He said no. She bought him dinner, and he ended up giving her his only possession because he was so grateful. It was a pendant necklace with Philippians 4. I can't remember the exact verse that was on there. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Probably I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, probably.
That's right.
Yes.
That is right. That's the verse.
Wow,
and,
very cool.
What a generous gesture. It was the only possession he had, and he was so grateful he gave it to her.
Well, there she is, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Sam's Corner at BillMartinezLive.com. You can see these videos up close and personal yourself. Bring plenty of tissues. And they are very touching. Samantha Mills, the good news girl. Thanks, Sam. This is Bill Martinez at 19 before the top of the hour.
Paid attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the marginalized fight premature birth and birth defects, and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. And for more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Brad Tates is with us. He's an attorney, a former state legislator in the New Mexico State House, a former director of the Justice Department Assets Forfeiture Office. And Brad works now as a privacy advocate, espousing adherence to fundamental constitutional freedoms, including free speech and opposition to warrantless searches or seizures. Additionally, serves as counsel, House Judiciary Committee for the New Mexico Legislature. Brad, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, Brad, you know, I wanted you to talk about, you know, one of your specialties, and that is, and it has to do with, you know, what seems to not look all that clear. I mean, in terms of the police, you know, taking advantage and maybe profiting through the civil asset forfeiture aspect of their work. Explain to our audience what that means.
There's probably three main problems that the civil asset forfeiture program, as it's played out around the country. But let me speak specifically to what you ask about, and that is an appearance of impropriety. Does it look right? Does it feel right to the citizenry? And I think the answer is no. Thousands and thousands of people every year have an amount taken, generally less than $1,000, and this is taken from them. They're not arrested. They go on their merry way, and the officer takes their $1,000, and at the end of the day, it ends up in that officer's budget. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look right. It needs to be an independent sourcing of the money. So that's the number one overriding problem with the program, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that, you say at the end of the day, are we talking, you know, within a couple of weeks? Are we talking 6 months down the road? The police are just hoping that the individual just gets weary about chasing his $1,000 and just decides, well, I'm just going to write it off and take it as a loss. At least I'm not having to deal with, extraneous legal fees that it cost me a lot more than that $1,000 they took away from me.
I challenge you to find a lawyer that would take one of these cases for less than $5,000 or $10,000 up front.
Wow.
And you can't navigate the system by yourself. So that's right. What are you going to do? They just let it go. And that's why so many of these cases are uncontested. This entire concept of an appearance of impropriety is throughout our judicial system. A judge cannot hear a case if he owns even one share of stock in one of the parties. Of course, a lawyer can't take a new client if he's ever represented someone on the other side. It just doesn't look and feel right.
Exactly.
On top of it, of course, we have elected representatives of the people, your state senators, your state representatives. These people are elected to appropriate the budget. And it's not right that there's an independent source of money. The legislators should fund the police well. We all support the police. We all are anti-crime. But there's a right way to do it. Stand before the legislature and get in a proper appropriation.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of amazing. It's almost like a developing profit center for law enforcement offices to be able to do this sort of thing. I know there was a story about a young man who, I think he came from Detroit, was heading west to live his dream, tried his dream as a recording artist, got some money from his grandmother, had something like $15,000 in cash. Well, he got stopped. He was coming in on a train. He got stopped at the train. They took the $15,000. He's never seen it again.
Well, I know that case quite well. It happened, it went down in Albuquerque.
Is that so, where
okay. a young man, I don't know if it was relevant that he was the only black guy on the train, but no dog hit on the money. It was in the original bank wrappers. The officer's card was in the bag, and yet they hassle him. I mean, he's 21. What's he going to do, stand up to some DEA agents? No, they take his money.
Yes.
And so later we ask him, well, what was the probable cause for this seizure? And there were two items for probable cause. One, that he could have transported the money in a more conventional fashion. Well, he could have, but it's legal to carry it. And he could have taken an airplane, but he chose to take it. What was the second factor, very interestingly, that he was headed, he and the entire train, I might add, was headed for a known drug hotspot. That would be Los Angeles. And those were probable cause why he got his $15,000 taken.
Unbelievable. Well, Brad, you say there were three problems. One of them, appearance of impropriety, which I agree with you. What are the other two problems with civil asset forfeiture?
Well, the entire Bill of Rights comes to mind. For example, starting with the Magna Carta, I mean, it's 800 years ago last summer, but the nobles were fed up with their estates being forfeited at the whim of the crown. And so it was outlawed in the Magna Carta. And for all these hundreds of years of history, asset forfeiture was used in an international sense, to where if the ship's owner was in London or Nigeria or someplace, and yet the ship's in the dock of Baltimore, someone's got to have a process to collect the fees. Okay, this is regular admiralty law.
Mm-hmm.
But it is located in admiralty law. Why are they seizing a man's money on the train in Albuquerque, you see? And was he arrested? No. So all the Bill of Rights, which of course are derived from the Magna Carta, where was his day in court? Where was his jury? Where was his appointed counsel? Where was his right to not speak? None of that applies because, as your listeners probably know, the case will be entitled The United States versus $15,000. The $15,000 is the defendant, not the man who owns the money.
Well, that's convoluted, but this is where people are trying to get their brains around, is that here they parse words, but they do it in a way that allows them to affect this kind of forfeiture with no harm, no foul. And the pressure then is on the individual who lost the money. And as you say, he's looking at $10,000 in legal fees just to begin with.
I've been a prosecutor most of my life, and I was a legislator. I did anti-crime bills. I hate crime, and I hate drugs and what it's done to our communities. And does any of your listeners not have somebody in their family or friends that has had their life ruined by drugs? It's a scourge. And yes, when I helped start this program in the mid-80s, we went after a few statutes that were drugs. They were internationally related. They were against the big cartels. And, of course, now I could add terrorism, a factor. That's international law where people aren't in this country. But then it went from a handful of statutes under the maritime laws to where they reach out now under federal law and can seize property, not in a criminal action. They just seize it in an asset forfeiture action in 400 crimes. 400 crimes. It's just grown out of control.
Exactly.
It interrelates, I think, with the over-criminalization of our whole judicial system. I mean, in those days, in the mid-80s, there were maybe 1,500 federal crimes. There's 4,500 now. There were maybe 8,000 or 9,000 federal criminal administrative crimes. There are 300,000 now.
Wow.
There are so many crimes, and this forfeiture is interweaved with all of them through the specific application of 400 statutes. People don't know what's expected of them, and what it does, it undercuts the respect that we all have for our law enforcement.
Yeah, there's no wonder that. Yeah, there's no wonder you've got people riding the streets saying, "Hey, there is a problem." They may not be able to define it or talk about it with a sense of legal education. All they know is just like what we've been talking about. It's not fair. It doesn't seem right.
Doesn't feel right. And then that feeling of that something's not right permeates our society so that it undercuts the trust that we need to place in our police to properly protect us.
Right, exactly. Good point. Okay, so three problems. Okay, we've got the appearance of impropriety. Doesn't feel right. Due process day in court is not happening. So what's the third problem here, Brad?
The appropriations process that we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Agencies should come before the people's elected representatives and get their budget appropriated. They should stand there together with the teachers and the potholes and all the other needs of society. There's always unlimited needs, but the police need to stand there with the rest of them and vet their needs, and they'll be properly funded.
Exactly.
The legislators support the police. The citizens support them by and large, and they'll be properly funded. But this side flow of money is not right. I work overseas quite a bit in Eastern Europe and Latin America and places, and this almost borders on the same thing of when you're stopped, you barely speak the language, there's some discussion about what you may or may not have done wrong, it's all a bit vague, but it's pretty clear that $100 fixes the problem.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. It seems that way. Exactly. And, of course, you work with and have worked with one of my favorite governors, Governor Susana Martinez, not because we have the same last name, but I like the way she's fought the good fight, by way of the Constitution. And she signed, she signed an initiative to address this reform that you're talking about.
That's right. The bill passed our legislature in New Mexico unanimously through the House and the Senate. A broad range from the ACLU to the Charles Koch Foundation to the Heritage Foundation, Cato, a wide range, all the way left to right, endorsed this. And it passed unanimously, and she signed it. And of course, she was a prosecutor most of her life. I worked for her at one time as assistant district attorney. We all are against crime, but she recognized, as did our legislature, that there's a right way to do this.
Exactly. Well, the whole idea of
the American way, Bill, the American way.
Well, it's that stuff that you want to avoid. That as you say, at the basis of all this is the appearance of impropriety, and what that represents in terms of building that trust with the citizenry. And of course, your clarion call is we need to protect private citizens from the pitfalls of policing for profit, and that's what it comes down to, whether it's here in America or if it's in some other third world country. Brad Cates has been with us, attorney, former state legislator in the New Mexico State House, and former director of the Justice Department's Asset Forfeiture Office. Brad, thank you so much for filling us in on all the details.
It's a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles?
There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.